Good evening, everybody. Welcome to your Friday Night Live. Hope you're doing well. And sorry for the slightly late start. As I said before, Windows decided to turn off my microphone and camera access for reasons that pass human understanding, but I suppose I need to have the male pregnancy emoji as an homage to Bill Gates to get Windows to do some basic shit, like let me broadcast without turning off shit I never turned off. So anyway, we're back. We're live. So good evening. Welcome to your Friday Night Philosophy. I'm happy to take your questions, issues, challenges, and problems. I am all thrilled and keen to hear what is on your mind and what is going on. So hit me with the why. Let's start with this. Hit me with the why. If you are a male, or let's say male, single, and not approaching women, hit me with a why. If you are male, single, and not approaching the lovely ladies, ready for a quick one or a thick one in the park, just hit me with a why, because that's a sort of a big question. Have you noticed that there are a lot of women asking, where have all the good men gone? Where have all the cowboys gone? I've got singing brain tonight, although my daughter has a flu, and not the fun chimney kind, but she has a flu. And so I learned, have you ever done this nasal rinse? Like you get the packets and the powders, the distilled water, and you rinse the living crap out of your nasal passages, and that seems to help quite a bit. So my body's like, there's bugs, but not that many of them. So I'm just kind of a little on the edge, but I think I'll make it. So, yes, it seems a fair number of you are out there and not, right? So why, if you are single and male and not really talking to women, why not? Or men, if that's your predilection, but why not? Why the hell not? Why are you not doing it? Because this is a big question. Right? This is a big question. So Gia McCool on X wrote, when she says, where have all the good men gone? Let's break it down. 31% of men are unmarried. Many prefer to stay single or date casually. Others, numbering in the hundreds of thousands, opt out of dating entirely, believing women destroy male spaces, undermine male brotherhood, criminalize male attention, weaponize accusations, hashtag me too, make love transactional, demonize masculinity. Ladies, the good guy you passed up, the one with nothing to offer but love and potential, that was your chance. Too many wait for the ready-made man, forgetting that those men don't want you. Mm. That's pretty good. Ladies, let me tell you how to get a good man. I'm not going to put this on the men, because Lord knows we carry enough burdens. We've been blamed for absolutely everything under sun, moon, and devil armpit. So ladies, this is just some tips about how to not be lonely and complaining and dumped by sex-subsidized vaporware Chad presents. So, number one, openly state to men what you love about masculinity. As a man, there are things that I really like about masculinity. Objectivity, truth, reason, evidence, facts, science, shelter, air conditioning, electricity, heating, roofs, roads, cars, largely come from men. And no, it's not because we're keeping women out of male spaces. It's because being in male spaces, well, it's hard on the nails, ladies, right? I mean, HR, rejecting the applicants of certain demographic groups, that's your bag, that's your thing. So I absolutely love masculinity. I love femininity as well. But we already have the women, a wonderful phenomenon. Women get praised for breathing. Men get damned for building. So to men as a whole, in your heart, in your attitude, in your thoughts, maybe even in your bio, in your social media posting, just proclaim what you love about men. I mean, if I was still doing in-the-street interviews, I would go up to people and say, what do you love and respect about women? And then I would go up and say, what do you love and respect about men? Because men, we're not stupid. See all that stuff around you that keeps you sheltered? That's all a lot of engineering and architecture and building. And it generally works. So we're not, you know, we're not stupid. The communications technology that we're using to have this conversation, mostly male, mostly largely male, significantly male, certainly majority male. So we're pretty smart. So if you say openly what you love about masculinity, we'll kind of like that. That's a plus. That's a positive. Ladies, also, assuming you can find some good qualities in your father, when you say you dislike men, it's just daddy issues. We know that. Like, we're not dumb. You judge men by your father. Or, to be more precise, you judge men according to your mother's story about your father. Oh, he was so nice, and he just hid it from me, and then he just turned on me for no reason, and he took off, and he wouldn't listen, and he wasn't reasonable, and blah, 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 right? Your mother playing the victim demonizes men, and we get that. We grok that. We absorb that. We soak it up. We soak it in. And we know. If you don't know enough to know that your mother poisoned you against men, if she did, because she won't take responsibility for her own choices, we don't want to date you. Now, the more callow among us might sleep with you, but we don't want to date you. In the same way that you wouldn't want to date a misogynist, if you're sane, we don't want to date misandrists. We don't want to date women who don't love masculinity. And there's lots to love about masculinity. The aforementioned list should suffice. So that's number one. Openly state and have it in your mind. You know, let's say you walk into a Starbucks, or any coffee shop for that matter. So you walk into a Starbucks. Who built it? Men. Who developed the plastics that put the microplastics in your ovaries? Men. Who's supplying the electricity? Mostly men. Who's supplying the heating, the cooling, the air conditioning, the roof, the shelter? Who discovered and invented and built the glass? It's men. So you're living in a male space, right? The male space is called civilization. That's a male space. It's quite nice, isn't it? You're warm in the winter, you're cool in the summer. A lot of scientific advancements in medicine, other things that keep you alive, men. So that we've got a male space we call not fucking dying on a regular basis. Who invented antibiotics? Who invented most of the modern medical procedures? Men. So, you walk into Starbucks, it's a male space. Who picks the coffee in Brazil or wherever, Guatemala, wherever you get? Who picked that coffee? Who is responsible for most of the transportation of that coffee? Who, in general, are the dairy farmers who run the farms? Yes, that's right. Bing, bing, bing. Balls, balls, balls. Men, men, men. More balls than an orgy of basketballers. So, that's another. You're walking into a male space, ladies. Oh, here's another question. Who's generating most of the wealth of the economy? Yes, that's right. Men. Because we don't generally have the kind of frou-frou HR DEI jobs. We have the real stuff, right? So, who's generating most of the wealth? If you use government services, who's responsible for paying the significant majority of the taxes? That's right. Everywhere you go is a male space. To drive to the Starbucks, you have to drive on a male space called roads. Because the men are actually building the roads, we're not standing there holding the slow stop go sign. Slow stop go, slow stop go. Look at that. It's a Roman marvel of engineering. She can swivel the sign. And again, love women, source of all life, nurturers of the young, a beauty in the world, the reason for man's existence, wonderful. But look around, ladies. What's a purely female space? other than HR, which is also in male buildings. And if you doubt me, ladies, just look at your own resume. Where do you see hard manual labor? Where do you see STEM stuff that's really productive, not just some government stuff? Where do you see all of that as a whole? Talk to your friends. How many of them went into, I don't know, petroleum engineering? How many of them are doing hard construction work? How many of them are loggers or fishermen? Road builders. Heavy-duty carpenters. Welders. The male space is where stuff that is practical works and keeps you alive. The male space is everywhere around you where people are not dead. And even in the graveyards, it tends to be a male space because men dig the graves and maintain the graveyards. Men also build the coffins. So, appreciate men, respect men, love men. Men also keep you dangerous. Sorry. Men also keep you safe from the dangerous men who attack women largely because they're raised by evil mothers. And we know this because the sons of single mothers tend to be more dangerous to society and to women. So if masculinity is so toxic, then how come it is that children raised without fathers are more destructive and violent and dysfunctional? Estrogen without testosterone is toxic to children as a whole. Lots of exceptions, but as a whole. Children raised by single mothers do badly and are dangerous to society on average. Compared to children raised by two parents, much healthier and better for society, also children raised by single fathers tend to do a lot better and are very close to the standards of dual parent households, right? Single moms, really bad. Single dads, pretty good. Very close to two-parent households. So estrogen without testosterone in the raising of children is a toxic environment as a whole, in general, tons of exceptions. But testosterone without estrogen is not nearly as toxic. So men risk our lives to protect you from men raised by women. We have to risk our lives because of men, in general, raised by women. Any thanks for that? Nope. Just masculinity is toxic. So, have you thanked men? Have you thanked a man? Have you shown any appreciation for that? See, here's the thing. I tell you, ladies, this is what we men are looking for as a whole. We're looking for loyalty because you come with a giant semi-homicidal bodyguard called the state these days. We're not marrying you. We're marrying you and the sociopathic government too. Little dicey, little dicey. You have a detonate balls button that you carry around at all times. It never leaves your person. You can push it at any time. Bang! Detonate balls. There is a mushroom cloud where the mushroom penis used to be. So you can get our asses thrown in jail. There can be false accusations. You can strip us of our resources, our money, our time, our sanity, our will to live. And one of the biggest causes of suicide is family courts. So, when we marry you, ladies, you can enforce our fundamental obligations to support you. You can enforce those through the power of the state and prison and the threat of prison. What of your obligations can we enforce as men? Zero.
Zero.
Oh, two okay signs. My God. Zero. So you can enforce our obligations with the power of the state and the threat of prison. We cannot enforce any one of your obligations in any way, shape, or form. So this is asymmetrical. Because apparently you're just really oppressed. So what we need is loyalty. What we need is loyalty. Because we're not stupid. We couldn't have a civilization if men weren't good at assessing risk. Either we'd be too cautious and get taken over, or we'd be not cautious enough and self-destruct. So we're really good at figuring out costs and benefits and assessing risk. That's why we try to jump over barrels on our bikes as kids, because we're trying to figure out how to calibrate and assess risk. It's what men do. So when we look at you, we're saying to ourselves, so in a conflict, is she going to side with me? In a problem, is she going to side with me? Is she going to give me the benefit of the doubt? Is she going to listen to what I have to say? Or is she going to jump to conclusions based upon her dysfunctional female friends / coven? Kind of important to us. Do we have your loyalties? When the vows say forsaking all others, right, which is that the loyalty is within the marriage. The loyalty is within the marriage. And anyone who comes between the loyalty of the marriage is utterly disposable. I don't care if I just did a call in today for 2 hours with a guy, had one of the scariest mother-in-laws on record. Mother's-in-law? Anyway, so we need to know that you won't cheat on us by aligning with someone outside the marriage. Right? We need to know that if your friends are dissing their husbands, you won't join in. And you'll say, oh my God, no, I love my husband. He's wonderful. Like, right? Are you going to be loyal to me, or are your loyalties, right? Do you have an in-group preference, right? Conservative style, do you have an in-group preference in the marriage, or do you have an out-group preference in that your loyalties lie to ideologues, feminists, bitter women, divorcees, dysfunctional friends, screwed up people, your family who might diss me? Where are your loyalties? If your loyalties are with me, fantastic, we can sail forward. If your loyalties are going to be outside the marriage, I'm not going to marry you. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. That's like going parachuting and having someone pack your parachute who wants you dead. A little bit too far on the red when it comes to risk-reward, right? Now, how do we know whether you love and respect masculinity and will be loyal to a man? How do we know? Well, we know very simply and very clearly. Have you ever said something like, believe all women? Have you ever hashtagged that? Have you ever posted that? Have you ever blindly sided with a woman against a man without knowing all the facts? In Blake Lively and Justin blah blah, do you side with her without knowing all the facts? Justin Baldoni? Right, in that sort of It Ends With Us fracas that's going on at the moment? If you've done this, hashtag believe all women, hashtag me too, and if you have in general sided with women against men, right, Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, right? Did you side, right? What about the Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, the Theranos woman, right? Did you, well, she's got to be right, or she was, this is this Svengali defense that Sonny Bell Wani was like hypnotizing her and he just had control over her and she was just this little waif, right? Do you side with women against men as a reflex? We will not marry you. You have rendered yourself ringless. We will not marry you if you side with women against men, because that means some woman's going to come along, trash talk us, you're going to divorce our ass and take us apart using the state-backed coercive family courts. We won't do it, because we're really good at assessing risk. We're really good. We're not sentimental about it, because we've got the scars and bruises to show. I've got a scar on my knee, matches my two front teeth, because I once jumped off or lowered myself off a garage roof when I was about six, and my knees buckled and my front teeth went straight into my knee. I still have the scars. That's how we assess risk. We have scars. Right, this is why when that Turkish boy drowned on the Mediterranean, we did an accurate risk reward. Whereas you all, often, in general, we're just kind of sentimental. Oh no, a sad picture. We can't have a civilization, right? If you show loyalty to women over men on principle, we will not marry you. We might have sex with you. We might date you for a little while. We're not going to marry you. We're not going to give that level of sexist anti-male bigotry the power of the state. Combined with that bigotry would be suicide for a man. Here's another example. When your mother complains about your father, do you take her side? Whether they're married or not, when your father is complained about by your mother, do you take her side or do you question her and get his side? In other words, are you in this weird, creepy, co-mingled, codependent, bullshit, immersed, mixed up relationship with your mother, where your mother bitches about your dad and you decide with your mother rather than say, whoa, 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 hang on, this is the man you chose to marry. This is my father you're talking about. Back it off a little, honey. Back it off. Or you go to your dad and say, so mom's saying this kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't seem right. What are your thoughts? And trust me, I'm not going to take this back to her. Like, what are your thoughts? So if you side with your mother against your father, we will not marry you. We will not marry you. Because you signaled that you are united with your mother against your father. What that means is that you will be united with your mother against us. Because you're going to have a conflict. We're going to have a conflict as a married couple. Like, men can play this out. We can play this out. Right? We can taste the food, the meal, like, you know, when you're an expert chef, you look at the recipe, you can taste the meal. We know that. We have levels of risk assessment that you can't even comprehend because you played it safe and we were out there swinging from bridges, biking over rocks. I mean, a friend of mine and I, because, you know, we were broke, right? This is the guy who later died in the motorcycle crash. A friend of mine and I, we would go to, I still remember where this was. Don Mills and Lawrence, a little bit down towards the valley, there was a lake, little lake, bigger than a pond, smaller than a lake. And we used to take giant logs in the winter and we would pound through the ice. That's how we assessed risk. We crossed bridges in the middle of the night. That's how we, like train bridges, that's how we assessed risk. We swung from under bridges. We biked like crazy. We drove off walls. We assessed risk at all times. So the male risk assessment brain is incomprehensible to women, and it's there to protect you, except these days you don't listen, right? We say it's dangerous, you call us prejudiced, and you have to suffer the consequences, and so do we. Right? For a society to be undermined, all that has to happen is women have to be told that men are useless and stupid and irrelevant because we're here to guard the borders, right? We're here to guard the borders and you won't listen. You won't listen. So if you side with your mother against your father, we will not marry you. That's the price you pay for your prejudice. Thank you for the tips, guys. I really appreciate that. Come on, this is some smoking stuff. You know it. I know it. The future knows it. This is life-saving stuff. So if you can help out, freedomain.com/donate. I really, really would appreciate it. Now take off your shirt. Absolutely. All right. That's the price. That is the price. That is the price. So, that's the price you pay. We don't want you siding with women against the man in your life. Now, here's another example. Here's another example. If you talk about your exes like they were all crazy and you were an innocent victim, it means that you have a self-justification mechanism that excludes moral responsibility on your part, which means whenever there's a conflict, you're going to blame us and excuse yourselves. We will not marry you if you only blame your exes. If men are always at fault and you are always innocent and helpless and a victim, we'll not marry you. Men put themselves in the place of the man you blame the most. That's what we do. That's what we do. We put ourselves in the place of the man you blame the most. And if you're really mad at your dad, we say, okay, this is how angry she can get at the man who raised her, the man her mother chose to be her father. This is how angry you can get at your father. Okay, how angry will you get at me? How angry will you get at me? This is how you agree with how angry your mother is at me. This is how angry you're going to get at me. If your friends, like I remember dating a girl once, I dated a woman once, and this is when I was working on rewriting the end of Just Poor. So when I was working on rewriting the end of Just Poor, I hired a cottage out in rural, in the middle of nowhere in England. It took forever to get there. And I was dating a woman and she was happened to be in England, coming through in England. And so I said, you know, come on by. And her sister was like, but he could be an axe murderer. Oh my God. Do you stand up for men? If you don't stand up for men, you're going to step on our throat. Do you have appreciation for and loyalty to men? So, well, but there are bad men out there. Yes, there are. And they're usually raised by women. It's the absence of masculinity that produces toxic men, not the presence of masculinity. Does it make sense so far, my friends? Are you blinded by the white? I was just thinking the other day, how long has it been since I took off my shirt? There's your thumbnail. Oh! Hey, do I have any moles that need concern? You guys, actually, I go to a dermatologist every year because I have a wife. No offense, but Steph does look like an axe murderer, so she wasn't wrong. All right, here we go. Pants. Oh, so free. Now, you might hear the sound like a redwood falling. Yeah, just put on my sunglasses. That's right. That's right. That's right, baby. Look at that. Oh, that's some armpit hair. You can count the chest hairs, couple of moles. Oh, some delts. There you go. Sorry, did you say something, Steph? Yes, I know. I know. I know. Drink it all in, baby. Drink it all in. As best you can. Had to dim my phone because it's going to kill your battery, man. It's going to kill your battery having this much blanc on the screen. Admiring. Yes, I'm so sorry that the microphone is in the way of the glorious 58-year-old man flesh. So, you want to get married, just show loyalty to men. That's all. Suddenly, Steph's wife enters the chat. You'd see her, what, She's like all 5'1" and a half. So it's probably not the end of the world that I had a daughter. But although my daughter's now taller than my wife, so my genes kicked in because I'm above average height. So yeah, I would take off my pants, but it would knock over the camera because the tripod is 4 feet away. So that's a challenge. Oh, well, crosses we have to bear. You know, like the businessman with the 18-inch penis, you know, at the end of the day, he just likes to get into a hot bath and unwind. Epic Germanic genes, that's right. Look at that. I have vein. And actually, I couldn't work out for 2 months for various reasons I'll get into another time. So I'm just getting back into it. So I've depuffed a smidge, but I'll be back. I'll be back. So, yeah, a man is putting a ring on your loyalty to men, on your loyalty to masculinity, on your appreciation and preference for masculinity. So, ladies, all you have to do is put on a sundress and say how much you love masculinity. All you have to do is make a sandwich and say, I don't know, Amber Heard could be wrong. I don't know, I don't really, Blake Lively, I don't know, the Me Too movement, there's something sketchy about it. That's all you have to do. Just don't automatically side with women against men. Then we'll marry you. At least fake it. That's all. I'm just telling you. Appreciate and love men. Oh, I got another one. Here's another one. Instead of assuming you know what it's like to be a man, it's a thought. Why don't you? Oh, it's going to shock everyone. It's going to shock everyone. I really do look like a robot from the future, don't I? So instead of saying that masculinity is this and toxicity that and misogynist, why don't you ask men, just ask a man, what's it like being a man? What's it like being a man? What's it like being a man? How do you experience being a man? What is it like to be male? What do you experience masculinity as? Just ask rather than tell us. You know, the ultimate mansplaining is all of these women saying to men, this is what masculinity is. Like, shut up, you don't know. Because you're not men, right? I don't know what femininity is because I'm not a woman. I can't imagine what it would be like really to be a woman. I love women. I live with two wonderful females who I absolutely adore, but I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I don't know what it's like to be half my size, which with something between my legs that people would kill for. I don't know what that's like. I've imagined it. I've written female characters. I can kind of get into the mindset a little bit. I don't really know. So I don't explain to women what it's like to be a woman. I ask. And through that process, I can find some things out. Now, ladies, put on a sundress and ask us what it's like to be a man. What's it like in the modern world, in the modern culture? What's it like to be a man? What do your friends think about what it's like to be a man? What is your experience? What is it like to not have a roller coaster of hormones every month? What it's like to have people interested in you just like not interested in you just for breathing, right? What is it like to be like this stable brick tank that goes through life largely ignored? What is it like to not have to fear walking the streets at night, largely because of men raised without fathers? What is it like to be a man? What is it like having your genitals dangle outside of your body? What is it like? What is it like having that sense of both strength and vulnerability that comes from being a big, strong man in the world and also having your most sensitive organs hang outside of your body because of some weird temperature difference that's needed for sperm? It's insane. I once rode a camel. I just can't imagine. Maybe Northern Europeans have bigger balls, but it's absolutely unsurvivable to ride a camel. Two humps, two balls? Thank you, no. I'm going to keep them at a civilized distance, which is about 3 parsecs. Just be curious. Just ask. Let me ask you this. For men, How many times has a woman asked you what it's like to be a man? What is your experience as a man? Qua man. What is it? You're not as a human being, because you can't. This is what Simone de Beauvoir said. You know, when she said, look, the most essential thing I can say about myself is that I'm a woman. And that's certainly true for me. The most essential thing that I can say for myself is that I'm Simone de Beauvoir. Resurrected, John McAfee style. But how many times has a woman asked you what it's like for you to be a man? What is it like for you as a man? What's the world like for you as a man? Right? I think it's an important question. Because how could you really understand someone if you don't understand the most fundamental thing? Because the most fundamental thing that conditions me is my masculinity. That is the most fundamental thing that defines me. It's not my race. It's not my size, although that's related to my gender, my sex. But, right, so how is that? Okay. So mostly people are saying zero. No woman, right? So, and this is something that I'm only here to entertain you. So this is something that somebody said about women, that women feel oppressed because women only care, they only compare themselves to the most privileged of men because the less privileged of men don't even exist for them. So women only compare themselves to like CEOs and presidents and prime ministers and top earners and millionaires. They only compare themselves to those top men because they don't even see lesser men. So they feel oppressed because they only compare themselves to the top tier of men. They don't compare themselves. Like, in the 19th century, would you rather be home raising children or would you rather be down a fucking coal mine getting black lung? Not that complicated, right? Of course you would rather be. Would you rather be home or drafted and sent to Stalingrad? Right? If there are any more donations, if you care, I will keep my shirt off. Zero says somebody, but I have had a woman appreciate my masculine aspects, right? If you provide more money to your household than your girlfriend or wife, or more money to your relationship than your girlfriend or wife, is that appreciated? Does she say, thank you for working harder and making more money for us? Thank you. Right? Because women want to be thanked for every meal they make. Every meal they make. Every cake they bake. So women want to be thanked for their contributions, which I think is fine. Appreciation is a good thing. How many times, as a man, is your excess labor and contribution appreciated? Right. I mean, my wife says to me probably every day that she appreciates how hard I work. I do wonder what it's like to be that strong, going through life just that strong. Must be mad. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. And of course, because I've been working out fairly consistently since my mid-teens, and I've always been bigger and stronger than most men, right? I mean, I'm just about 6 foot, so I'm above average in height. I'm fairly, like, I'm not, you know, some guys have those like chicken chests and those spindly arms and so on. I'm obviously not some super muscular guy by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm solid, right? I'm solid. I don't have those, you know, where you can see the boob ribs from someone, right? So I'm solid. And so I've never, and I move through life with a fair bit of confidence because I am confident, right? So I've been athletic my whole life. I've exercised my whole life, done weights my whole life. So I move through life with fair confidence. And so I don't really know what it's like to be under threat. A couple of times I've had guys in my face yelling at me and angry about something, but I just yell back, right? Because the best way to reduce escalation is to match aggression. The best way to reduce escalation is to match aggression. So I just yell back. Bring it on. Bring it on. And that tends to solve it, right? So ladies, just appreciate men, love masculinity, which is to say love civilization, which is to say love survival. Appreciate men, and don't automatically take women's side. I mean, if you really want to lock it down with a man, then in general work to take men's side, because it's so rare, right? It is so rare for women to take men's side, right? That if you do take men's side in general, like Justin Baldoni, I think he's right. Like if a man hears that from a woman, it blows our fucking minds. It really does. It blows our minds. If a woman says, for instance, you know, this Amber Heard thing, I don't think so. Doesn't pass the smell test. Whatever you're going to say, right? I mean, a man will kneel before you. You know, as my daughter used to say about Darcy from Pride and Prejudice, straight to the altar, straight to the altar. Am I wrong about this? All right, let's get to your comments. I appreciate your thoughts about this. It's just, it's easy. I don't know why women don't do this. Because you're going to need us, man. Right? You know you're going to need us, right? I read a whole novel about this called The Present, which you can get at freedomain.com/books. I read a whole novel about this. You're going to need us, babies. Because winter is coming. You know that, right? You know winter is coming. Money's going to run out. Money's going to run out. And winter is coming, and it's going to be a long-ass difficult winter. Long-ass difficult winter. So you're going to need a man. I mean, even if you just want to retire, you need like $2.3 million to retire. So you're going to need a man. And if you want a man you respect, you're going to have to respect men. Because if a man has any self-respect, he won't cuck and give you money just to get access to your wrinkled vajayjay. He's not going to do this. He's not got any self-respect. So if you want a man who's got some self-respect, you better respect men. Because if you don't respect men, you will only get cucks and cowards with no self-respect. If you keep saying men are weak and exploitive, you're going to get male feminists crawling up you and then blue-haired style, giving you herpes and despawning. If you say, I respect men, you're going to get men with self-respect. Isn't that a good thing? And then you're going to have a father for your children that your children will respect. Right? I just got here. Did I accidentally join the private show? Only Stefan's. Went on a date with a woman who admired Elon Musk. I thought that was a green flag. Completely agree. Also, can a man be strong enough to ignore social cues without being slandered as autistic? Elon Musk is not autistic. He's principled. Every day I wrestle with the Twitter ban. I'm not going to lie. Is this enough? Oh, he has integrity. He is willing to take some bullets for the sake of principles. Oh, then he must be autistic. See, apparently, principled masculinity is a mental defect. Fuck that. Do not put a ring on a woman who mouths that offensive bullshit. Steve just stripped butt naked in solidarity. I appreciate that. I very much do. I don't take it for granted. What would cause me to erroneously attract feminine men? Well, if you want to attract a masculine man, you've got to be feminine. Right? And the other thing too, ladies, if you want a quality man, if you want a successful man, you have to get with him before he's successful. you understand this? I don't want to over-explain things, but does this make sense to the men? You have to pick a man before he's successful. Because if you're not part of his success, you won't mean much to him. If you didn't gamble on him and help him achieve his success, you don't share in it, and he will not want you. So waiting for the man to become successful before you commit to him is worse than ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Nope. Why? I'm trying to think of why. I've not given a very good explanation here. So help me out, brothers and sisters. Help me out. Let's say a man is very successful, has made his millions, and then the woman, no, she's only there for the resources. She's only there for the resources. She's not there for the struggle. She's only there for the prize. Yeah. So early investors make the money. Late investors make little, right? If you early invest into Apple, you can make $1 zillion. If you buy Apple now, you're not going to make that much. Yeah, for a lot of, and men call this too, but a lot of women complain that men with integrity are autistic because they can't, like, to them, integrity and virtue and morals and principles is so incomprehensible that it can only be brain damage that would cause it. But Elon Musk is very clear. He says, you know, he quotes that line, an Inigo Montoya in The Princess Bride, offer me money, offer me power. I don't care. I've been offered money, just personally myself. I've been offered money and I've been offered power to compromise my principles. I wish I could say it was even tempting, because then I'd feel stronger and more virtuous. Like, it's not even tempting. Ew. No, thank you. Hey, I have this giant vomit sandwich. I'll pay you $50 to eat it. I'm like, it's not even tempting. And of course, I'm telling you, it was a lot more than $50, obviously, right? So, it's not even tempting. This woman says, I'm not saying I did crazy labor. A lot of guys have done much more, but I felt this most when I was doing hard warehousing in my late teens to early 20s, destroying my hands, eyes with dust. I remember just thinking, like, imagine women cared to understand what this was like. Oh, are you a man saying that? Yeah. Well, you know, this woman, she chose to live as a man to write a book about it and to make a documentary about it. She chose to live as a man, and she ended up killing herself. Because she didn't realize just how invisible men are as a whole. Like, if you're a reasonably attractive woman, the world is obsessed with you, and you can get resources just for smiling on the internet. Women don't understand how invisible the average man is, especially these days when women are all chasing the top 10% of men. We have a de facto harem, multiple wives, girlfriend scenario. Right, we've gone Christian to Muslim in a way, like we have gone to a harem society. As in, I am too masculine. Oh, this is the woman who attracts the feminine men. Well, why aren't masculine men attracted to you? I would assume it's because you don't put off feminine vibes. The more masculine the personality, the more feminine the man is attracted to. And if this is why, so women, why have men become low T and cucked as a whole? Because women have been encouraged to be more and more masculine, like the woo girls, the party girls, the live like a man girls, and all of that. The aggressive girls, the punchy girls, the fighty girls. Okay, be as masculine as you want. You just won't get a masculine man, which means you're going to get a man who's a failure. What would be an example of a nonverbal I do that would draw a feminine man? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could do a call-in, freedomain.com/call-in. I don't know, because I don't know how old you are. I don't know your height and weight. I don't know how you dress. I don't have any idea about all of these things. So But the more independent you are, the less masculine a man, right? You're a strong, independent woman. It's so funny, right? I mean, you know this cliche, right? I mean, I was paying my own bills from the age of 15 onwards, and I never sat there and said, well, I'm a strong, independent man. It's like, it's just called being a fucking adult. It came to me a little bit sooner than most, but maybe not inappropriate to my abilities. But, you know, women want prizes for doing basic adulting, you know? So if you are independent as a woman, if you are a lone wolf who don't need no man, then you won't attract a masculine man. It's a masculine man wants to be able to pair bond. And if you're independent, you're saying, I don't need people. I certainly don't need a man. Therefore, I'm not going to pair bond. And being, quote, independent is a way of trying to get to win in negotiations, right? So we all know in negotiations, right? Think of the guy dying of thirst in the desert and some guy with 5 bottles of water, right? So the guy dying of thirst desperately needs the water or he's going to die, so he'll pay any price. So the person who wants more loses in the equation, right? The person who wants more. There's a very funny scene in Monty Python's The Life of Brian where the guy desperately needs a gourd, and he's just like, here, take it. And the guy, the vendor gets really upset. He won't haggle, right? Ah, you don't go to this, you do go to this, right? And so he ends up having a haggle because he's so desperate to get the gourd, right? So whoever needs more loses in a win-lose relationship. In a win-win relationship, both people need each other and they're dependent upon each other and you're essential for each other's happiness, so you both win that way. But the reason why women are encouraged to be strong and independent is they are signaling to the man that he will always lose because she can leave him behind. She can leave him on read. She can ignore his text. She can, right? And the funny thing is that's supposed to create desire and demand for the woman because she is saying, I don't need you as much as you need me. Therefore, I'm going to win and dominate you in our interactions. And men respond to that, right? There's this exchange on X where a woman says, so guys, when you've been texting a girl like every day, all day, and then you just suddenly ghost her, like, why is that? What happens? And the top rated reply was, well, I kept initiating contact. I kept texting her. I kept talking to her. Her responses were sort of indifferent. And then I stopped texting her to see if she valued me enough to text me. Turns out she didn't. So I decided I'm obviously not that important to her. I'll keep moving. Or this sort of meme where a man can't be pushy, but if a man asks a woman on a date and she says no twice, and then he stops trying to ask and she gets upset. Like, I thought men were supposed to fight for things. I thought I was supposed to matter enough for him to keep trying. And it's like, so you are trained as a woman, you are programmed, you are propagandized to put out signals of strong, independent, don't need no stinking man. Sisters are doing it for themselves, standing on their own 2 feet, ringing on their own bells. That's an Annie Lennox and Aretha Franklin song. Thank you, I'll do it myself. You got to watch her drinking blood in a video, adrenochrome style. Ooh, creepy. Anyway, so, yep, don't need no man, got it, I'm doing it all myself. Don't need it, I'm fine. Okay, so men just say, okay, well, she's strong and independent. She doesn't need anyone. And so she's no capacity to pair bond, no thirst for union with a like mind. Somebody says, I was surprised by the amount of female pushback on the Depp Heard trial. Well, that's because Johnny Depp, certainly when he was younger, was a gorgeous slice of tasty man meat. Super himbo. It seems to me that a lot of women think thanking men is going backwards and take a strong stand. Taking a strong stand is the only way to keep from being oppressed. Yeah, well, I mean, who wants to serve the ungrateful? Right? Because the funny thing is that there's so many women's stories and plays and novels where the woman slaves over a hot meal. The man comes in, barely says anything, grunts and eats and goes, and she's just so upset, right? In the movie, which was a complete case of terminal wasp fantasy, The Bridges of Madison County with Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood, she's really, really upset because the door bangs, right? Her husband, there's a woman in a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. Well, Madison County, I guess. So the door, the men, her sons and husband, they go out the door and the door bangs. And every time she's like, oh, right? Because they don't even care enough. And then when the guy closes the door slowly, oh, he's so brilliant, so wonderful, right? So this is a complete fantasy of, well, they had an affair and it never harmed anyone, you see. And he became obsessed with me, but never stalking. There were never any problems. And right, it's just a complete luring women into infidelity. It's just brutal, right? And somehow, because the door slams, she can fuck Clint Eastwood's brains out and it's totally fine. I mean, this is the insane stuff that goes on in the gynocracy. But the funny thing is, of course, she's a strong, independent woman, trademark. So why the fuck doesn't she just get something that prevents the door from slamming, like a little arm on the door that slows it down, right? Pretty fucking simple. Nope, just passive. Well, if they really cared about me, they wouldn't slam the door. It's like, you care about it, so fix it. Strong, independent woman. All right. Just be grateful. I'm grateful for women. Love what women bring to the world. Just be grateful. It's so easy. And because women are constantly complaining that men don't appreciate them, you'd think that women would say, well, I'm going to teach a man how to appreciate me by appreciating the hell out of him. Nope. Apparently, men not appreciating women enough, which is a hole with no bottom for a lot of women, means that women can treat you like shit. Okay. But if you could treat someone like shit because they treat you badly, maybe men aren't appreciating women because men were treated like shit by women. Nope. Apparently, that doesn't happen, right? Hi, Steph. I've met a wonderful woman 6 months ago who shares the same values of peaceful parenting and many of the other values I cherish. Good. What's the problem? Unfortunately, she is located on the other side of the planet, and we have a long-distance relationship. We've met already once and plan to meet again in a couple of weeks to know her family and parents. We want to marry and have children together. My question is, can a relationship be successful from starting out as a long-distance relationship? What would we need to do to bridge that gap? Thank you. What do you think I'm going to be able to say with this little information? Good Lord. I've got more call-ins than I can handle, but I'm just kind of surprised. Like, are you allergic to having a call-in? freedomain.com/call. They're free, or if you want to keep it private, you can keep it private. Actually, I got to raise my price on that soon because I've just got more demand than I can handle. So, long-distance relationships are terminal bullshit for the most part. It's a placeholder. It's not a real relationship. It's a fantasy. You get horny, you get together, you have a lot of sex, you go and have coffee, you walk around, you watch a movie. It's completely unreal. You don't have to deal with dentist appointments or in-laws or whatever tax problems or whatever's going on in your life. It's all just unreal. It's like living in a five-star hotel for 2 weeks in Thailand and thinking that you really deeply understand the culture now and speak Taiwanese or whatever, right? Nope. So, and the legal issues, the immigration issues, it's crazy. And then you can't have in-laws around. Usually one or the other is not around and the kids are going to grow up cross-cultural. And my God, I mean, get someone close by for God's sakes. They're not that rare. All right. All right. The media always also portrays feminine men as desirable. Well, no. So don't look at what the media pushes. Look at what women buy. Don't look at what the media pushes. That's programming. Look at what women buy. And they buy Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey. And that's all you need to know. What would you say femininity is? Support the beautification of the environment, the tender-hearted, empathetic raising of children, the push to shape male aggression into social acceptance and some level of diplomacy, the softening of the harder edges of the male personality, and the wise counsel that comes from more socially aware perspectives. I think that would be femininity in a nutshell. I'm a strong, independent woman, but I can't change a car tire, and I'm afraid of anyone who stops to try and help. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think feminine men being attracted to masculine women is akin to trauma caused by mothers? I have no idea. I have no idea. You'd have to be more specific. I found that part in your novel, The Present, to be profound, the part where the protagonist points out that nobody has ever shown the father character any appreciation. I believe he cries. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Rachel, finally, yeah, because the man that the alpha male that Rachel is attracted to asks her if she'd ever showed any appreciation to her father for his work. And the father talks about Gary the screamer and the difficulties he had at work for years. And the mother, you can see, totally steps in. Oh, right. Don't build up his ego. Women are, a lot of women are terminally terrified that the man is going to get too confident and outgrow them, which is why a lot of women sabotage male confidence to keep him down. This woman says, I fell for the feminist lies that men would like me for having a lucrative career. I achieved it, and I drew a lot of feminine men. We don't care about your career. We don't. In fact, your career is kind of a negative in many ways. I mean, if you don't want to have kids, whatever, that's fine, right? But men, we don't share our women, right? We're monogamous. We don't share our women. And if you are a woman, particularly with a male boss, then you have a man who's not your husband ordering you around, who you're happy and willing to obey, that's not your husband. Now, I'm not saying your husband should order you around. Nobody should order anyone around. But there's a male, an older, authoritative male in your life as a wife who gets to tell you what to do that's infinitely more important than your husband. Yeah, good luck sustaining that shit. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Any thoughts on mentally dealing with cold weather? No matter what the temperature, all it is brisk. What's it out? Oh, it's freezing. Oh, it's cold. No, brisk. That's how I describe it. It's bracing. It's brisk. Long-distance relationship worked out for me, but we didn't have premarital sex. We are very similar culturally and lived in the same country. Yeah, I mean, it's fine if it's like one state to another or one province to another, right? What women novels did you read? Oh, Freda McFadden. Freda McFadden were the novels that I read. And they are wild in terms of, she's actually a doctor who specializes in brain trauma, and she's also a best-selling author. She's married and has two kids. And it is wild to see how the programming, right? I mean, they always say, if a man watches pornography in a stable relationship, it's cheating. It's like, okay, you can make that argument. I get that. But women reading romance novels when dating a man is even a worse form of cheating in many ways, because it's psychological and programming and not just sort of base stimuli, right? One of the many great moments in your novel, The Present. Yeah, I mean, if you're a man, if a woman has a big career, all you see is that strangers are going to raise your children. That's all. I mean, maybe she can give you some money, but she can't give you time and she can't parent your children. So it's a demonic offer. Well, your culture can end with you and strangers can raise your children, but you'll have an extra couple of bucks in the bank account. And so you get old. Like, I'm at the age now, like I'm 58, I'll be 59 this year, right? So I'm at the age now where money becomes less and less meaningful. Straight up. I can picture being too old to do much with my money. I'm going to go skiing in the Alps. Well, probably not at 80, right? It's a bit dangerous, right? You get injured as you get older. It's less risk, right? So I can totally see that money becomes less important as you age. And what is more important is relationships, the good that you've done, the contacts you've made, the community you've built, the virtue you've brought to the world. That's what matters. Money, you know, beyond a certain minimum, whatever, right? freedomain.com/tonight. Really appreciate your support and help. But I can really see that. Just matters less, right? And so if you're a woman with a career and there's a man who wants kids, well, as a father, I want my values to transmit to my children. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the values that I have, not super mainstream. I mean, there will be if humanity survives. They'll have to be. But not super mainstream. Can you imagine if I had my daughter raised by a stranger? We would, like, what would we have in common? We wouldn't even have the same approaches to life or truth or negotiations or relationships or reality or virtue or anything like that. Only NPCs can stomach the idea of strangers raising their children because they have nothing to offer their kids other than cliches. And the other thing too, if a woman has a big career, and let's say then you say, well, I really want you to quit to raise the kids, then you know she's going to make you pay for that. You know that she's going to, hey, I gave up my whole career for you. Thanks. No, I'm good. I don't make any big sacrifices. Just go make some money. Have I ever seen the movie American Beauty? Yes, that was quite a wild movie. I think I may have done a review of it. Let me check here. I may have done a review of it. But yeah, it was one of the few movies that ever talked about female dominance and bullying, right? Oh, gosh. There's quite a lot of shows about beauty. But yeah, I may have. If I haven't, maybe I will. It's a bit stomach-turning. It's a big stomach-turning, but at least there is something about female bullying and psychopathy in that. All right. I'm 24, and a lot of guys I meet seem to be more interested in waiting till 30 to get married and have kids. For instance, a new friend I made who was actually into your show was telling me he wants to have his family at 40 and just have fun till then. Right? And do you know why men want to wait? Why do men want to wait? Yeah, the moment where Kevin Spacey says, you know, I rule, and he disobeys his wife is as electric a moment for men as the moment in Fight Club where he says, you know, we're a generation of men raised by women. I'm not sure another woman is the solution we need. It's powerful stuff. So why do men want to wait to have kids? Because the wealthier we get, the higher quality woman we can get. So it makes sense for men to wait because let's say that a guy makes $30,000 when he's in his early 20s, but he makes $100,000 when he's 30. So he can then choose a younger woman who's going to choose him for his money, and he can get a higher quality woman, so to speak, whatever his definition of quality is, right? Because that way the women don't have to roll the dice. They don't have to support the man through his growth period. They can just pick the winner of the race and sleep with him, right? You know that old statement that women don't run the race. They just stand on the finish line and have sex with the winners. I mean, that's harsh and kind of cold, but there's a certain evolutionary aspect to that that has some accuracy. So the longer a man delays settling down, the more power he gains in the dating market. So the average 30-year-old guy who's financially successful has about the same sexual market value as a hot 22-year-old female. So why wouldn't you wait to choose when you are in your position of maximum choice? So for men to wait, I mean, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but it certainly makes sense from a choice standpoint. I mean, if you have 20 people who want to buy your house, you'll get a hell of a lot more money for it than if there's just one person who you have to convince to buy. Because they'll all bid, right? So a man who's successful, I mean, successful men in their 30s are like rock stars, right? So because the women are all panicking and getting baby rabies and want to settle down, so he can pick and choose. So men, like women, want to be in a situation where there's maximum demand and they can pick and choose what they get, right? That's good, right? That's good for them. So yeah, it is in a man's interest to wait, for sure. This woman says, I've become the man I always wanted to marry, not intentionally, but slowly over time. But you can't become the man you want to marry because you're a female. You can't become the man you want to marry. Unless you want to attract a female. Somebody says, I actually have a friend who really resents her husband as she was earning as much as him before kids and earns less now. She's really bitter about it. Honestly, I've really cut back on my friendship because of the way she treats him. Yeah, don't be around that. Don't be around bitter people, man. It's horrible. And they're so wrong. As long as you're north of the grave, you've got not much to be bitter about. A call in with Steph would be invaluable. Yes, it would. Yes, it would. You can go just read, especially a private one, man. In a private one, I can be seriously blunt and give you absolute detailed prescriptions of what I think needs to be done. Because they don't have to have any concerns about being misinterpreted by the planet as a whole. Up to 33% of women admit to foodie calls, which is to go on a date in order to get a free meal. That's crazy. One in three women admitting to using dates just for free food. No intention of dating or sleeping with the man. Well, that's thievery. Paul Elam wrote, women owe it to men to do more work in the home since they don't work as long or as hard as men at their jobs. According to U.S. Census data, men spend an average of 41 hours per week at their jobs, while women work an average of 36.3 hours per week. Yeah. Barack Obama and Jennifer Aniston, I don't believe it. Could be wrong. Obviously, could be wrong. If the U.S. were invaded, 60% of men... This is from college students, so they've got a lot of anti-masculine propaganda, right? But if the U.S. were invaded, 60% of men say they would stay and fight, but only 34% of women. Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that wild? It would be interesting to see nativist breakdowns for that kind of stuff. But you probably won't, right? This was pretty wild. It's a coincidence, right? I think this is true. Let me just double check this. All right. Looks it. All right. So, Lee Fierro, the actress who played Mrs. Kintner in Jaws, this is the woman whose son is killed because Chief Brody doesn't warn anyone about the dangers of the shark in the movie. So Lee Fierro, the actress who portrayed Mrs. Kintner in Jaws, once visited a seafood restaurant in Massachusetts and noticed an item on the menu called the Alex Kintner sandwich. Amused, she mentioned to the staff that she had played the character's mother in the iconic film. To her surprise, the restaurant owner came out to greet her. And it turned out to be Jeffrey Voorhees, the actor who had played her son, Alex Kintner, in the movie decades earlier. I don't know if that's true, but it should be true. If it's not, it ought to be, and I'm going to choose to believe that it is. This is Travis Matthew wrote this, and this got 10.4 million views. So this guy wrote, when my MAGA family members begin to struggle financially, I will not help them. When my MAGA family members struggle to make their mortgages, I will not help them. When my MAGA family members struggle to put food on their tables, I will not help them. I have the means, but I will not help. My MAGA family members made a choice. They voted against my wife, my daughters, and my son. I will never forget or forgive them. They actually voted against themselves, but they're too fucking stupid to realize it. Life is about choices. They made theirs. I've made mine. Well, let's see. What is this guy? I have not lost connectivity. Oh, he's a white boomer. Yeah. So apparently, the end of anti-white male hiring practices, or at least their diminishment, is apparently voting against his white son. He says, just an FYI for all you MAGA assholes who respond to this thread. Those of you who will accuse me of having a moral superiority complex, you're absolutely right. I'm better than MAGA. Every Democrat and independent is better than MAGA. Right. So, of course, the against me argument that I made about politics was apparently really, really bad. But this is apparently totally fine. Apparently, that's totally fine. Women are often encouraged to get the career as a backup plan, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, so most of feminism is helping women to avoid raising the children of men they're no longer attracted to. That's most of feminism. This is what abortion is all about, free love and so on. It's about sex, not families. It's about orgasms, not babies. And it's about not having to be stuck with and raise the child of a man you're not superlatively attracted to, which is why women can get hotter guys by offering sex than settling down. In other words, a woman can get a woman who's a six can get a nine to sleep with her, but she can't get a nine to marry her. So it's about selling sexual access to really attractive men. But in return for that, they have to have free love, the welfare state, and abortions, right? So it's consequence-free sex. It's a sin. Sir Cheddarman says, I did a private call. It was amazing. Thank you. I'd much rather find a girl now at my age, 24, who believes in me, and have kids with her young. If I meet a woman who is loyal and committed to me now, there'd be nothing better than that, because it shows she didn't wait to pick a winner. Plus, having a family young means you can be healthier for longer with your kids growing up. That's very true. That's very true. How does the tomboy thing work? Because all of the tomboys I've seen started out acting more like guys, and then when they got married, they go hard trad wife. Right. So a tomboy has assessed risk. Right. Tomboys are about physical danger and assessing risk. And tomboys understand the masculine mind because they have approached it to some degree in a pre-dating age group. It's actually really good for them to help to understand and appreciate men. Right? Because women who don't take risks when they're young don't understand men's lives. It's the social, the reproduction game is fine. It's the social engineering that's being pumped into it that is foul beyond measure. Sorry, why is it foul? Why is it foul beyond measure? So, if propaganda convinces people not to have children, then people who are susceptible to propaganda don't reproduce. I'm not sure what there is to really mourn about that. So people who are susceptible to bullshit don't reproduce. My sole question is like, is corruption driven by supply or demand? Is corruption driven by supply or demand? I believe corruption is largely driven by demand. People want stuff for free, and therefore the government gives them free stuff, and then that corrupts them. If people didn't want stuff for free, there wouldn't be a welfare state. But the government, maybe it offers stuff for free, but people have to want it and accept it, and they have to de-empathize themselves to the point where they're willing to take other people's stuff at the point of a gun for, quote, free. Right? If people didn't want free healthcare, quote, free healthcare, because it's destructive and counterproductive, then the government wouldn't have anything to sell. Corruption is driven by demand. It's not just that people are helpless victims being acted on by giant propaganda machines at all. People want that. They want those excuses. They want escape from responsibility. They want to avoid the consequences of their actions. They want to do shitty things and get away with it. They want to do irresponsible things and be backfilled with government money. They want, like all of these government workers, the federal workers, like Trump is saying, you got to come into the office, right? They're freaking out. Because I assume a whole bunch of them have side hustles and other jobs or just sit around masturbating or watching daytime TV or whatever, right? I mean, they're actually going to have to work, and this is deeply shocking and appalling. So they want free stuff. People want free stuff. If you can remove your addiction to free stuff, if you can remove any thirst or desire to escape the consequences of your own actions, only then can you be free. Only when you take ultimate responsibility can you be free. Because it's a child who wants other people to deal with the consequences of their actions. So when I was a kid, I was really into throwing rocks. I threw a rock, went up in the air, landed on the hood of a car, nice sports car, and the guy got really mad at my mom. Why? Because I was like 5 years old throwing rocks. Got really mad at my mom. Didn't get mad at me because I'm a little kid. So my mom had to deal with it. I'm like, oh, you're going to yell at a traumatized German woman? Have fun. Have at you. You'll wish you hadn't got out of the car. In fact, you might wish that the rock I threw had been a giant boulder and crushed your head. So it is children who are desperate for adults to pay the price for the children's bad decisions. And that's fine for adults to do. It's natural. Makes sense. So the degree that we want to escape the consequences of our own actions, the degree we want stuff for free, is the degree to which we want to remain pathetic children. Not that children are pathetic, but adults who want to remain children are pathetic. It's pitiful. What if, you know that old thing, what if they threw a war and nobody came? What if somebody offered you something for free and you said no? No. I'll earn it myself. That's weird. That's creepy. That's bizarre. There's a catch, right? There's a fine print. I'm going to lose my soul, right? What if? So it's not just that there's propaganda and people are just helplessly acted upon. No. People are responsible, especially now when you can choose, you can pick and choose what you want to consume, right? It's not like three channels. When I grew up in England, there was like basically two channels, BBC One and ITV. BBC Two had those weird mastermind talk shows. At least I thought they were kind of weird, kind of intense. So there was virtually no way to get information outside of government propaganda. Now, with the internet and with YouTube channels, stuff like this, you can get as much information as you want. You're as free. Like, I can understand people in the Roman Empire being susceptible to propaganda. I can understand people in the 50s being susceptible to propaganda. Now, the propaganda is entirely chosen because it's like one click away to get a different perspective. So people who are in echo chambers and who never, ever encounter an alternate opinion because they just copy-paste their own prejudices in the NPCs around them, they're completely responsible for that. People who consume propaganda now, they're not force-fed, they're consuming it by choice. They're consuming it by choice. So, is it supply or is it demand? It's like drugs. Is it supply or is it demand? Well, it's demand for the most part. Drugs go where the demand is. And if there was no demand, there would be no drugs. So you can have supply without demand, but the demand is a pull economy. The demand pulls the supply. People are hungry for propaganda. They desperately want propaganda. They need propaganda. People who are overweight, they want fat positivity. They don't want, you know, that old meme that men are pretty brutally honest with each other about being overweight. Bro, I know five fat people and you're like four of them. So people want that. They want to be reassured that who they are is fine rather than have any responsibility for improvement. Fine. I'm not going to blame the propagandists for supplying the demand. Because they have a choice between someone like me who's frank and direct and honest, or people who lie to them. And they choose voluntarily to go suck on the treacly, sugar-filled, brain-rotting udders of the cows of propaganda rather than have a fucking salad and steak over here in philosophy land. They choose that. I mean, what I'm responsible for is putting out something that's not propaganda, for sure. I'm responsible for that. But the beautiful thing now is that certainly for me, and I'm sure this is the case for you as well, because I've told the truth of the world at such great personal and financial cost, because I've told the truth of the world, I have no sympathy for people who choose propaganda now. I'm not going to give them any sympathy at all. They have absolutely chosen it in a universe of infinite choice. They've chosen the propaganda, and they're paying for and feeding the propaganda. Like, all these people complain about Hollywood and Disney. It's like, you're giving them the fucking money. Shut up. Stop. Like, organize a boycott or shut up. All right. Let's see here. All right. The social climb naturally cultivates a surplus of females, which seems to imply that embedded in the design is this innate attraction. For men, we see an admiration of lead roles, and so do women. Sorry, I don't quite follow that. Hey, Steph, my wife, then girlfriend, had a private call-in with you last year. We are now married and expecting our son in April. Thank you so much for everything. You are welcome. You're welcome, and please give her my very best, and thank her again for a great conversation. Do-do-do. Yeah, I mean, the government will, oh, here's universal basic income. Like, okay, so you're just going to pillage other people through government force to get something for nothing? Okay. My sister and my mom called me in a panic 3 days before the inauguration because the Biden admin was giving free college loan forgiveness before Trump got in. It was all political bullshit. The Biden admin was taking credit for the pre-existing loan forgiveness program that had existed for over 30 years and acting like it was something they were responsible for while blaming Republicans, blah, blah, blah. Well, the loan forgiveness is just women taking bullshit degrees, right? It's mostly most college debt is women taking bullshit degrees because they don't want to do any hard intellectual work. So they're like, communications and sociology and psychology, right? Nothing rigorous, nothing demanding. Right. Okay. So you took propaganda and now you can't have kids because no man of quality is going to want to marry a leftist femdroid with nine-dimensional student debt. So I'm programmed to dislike men, hate the free market, hate freedom, and I have $100,000 in student debt. Well, that's the price you pay for consuming propaganda and willingly and enthusiastically participating in being lied to. Yeah, I mean, nobody has any excuse for remaining ignorant in the modern world. Nobody has any excuse. It's a beautiful thing, is that we no longer have to have sympathy for people who've chosen ignorance. It's now completely and totally a choice. One click away. One click away from the truth, which means people who make bad decisions are entirely responsible. No sympathy. No sympathy whatsoever for people who make bad decisions now, because good decisions are one click away. All right. Any other last comments, questions, tips would be more than welcome. freedomain.com/donate. Couple of tips here would not be the end of the world. I really do appreciate your kindness and thoughtitude regarding what it is that I'm doing. I really do appreciate all of that kindness. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Wednesday's live stream was insanely good. Thanks so much. It really was. I try to outdo myself every time with more passion and concentration, but I did way too many steps today, and I shouldn't have stood for the show because I'm like, oh, I could sit, but I don't want to do it in the middle. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, mama, any way you choose. All right. Hanging out there for any last donations? Going a once or going a twice? I also did a talk on Telegram earlier today about trolls, so you might want to check that out. I'll put that out. I'd probably go to donors, but you should check that out. And freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. freedomain.com/books. Get my books, especially my novels. They're great. And also freedomain.com/documentaries for the documentaries. Don't forget, donors get a whack load of AIs. Peacefulparenting.com. You got parenting questions, type it into the AI. We We trained it like crazy. There are like five different AIs. There's a Bitcoin AI, a general AI, a call-in AI, lots of great stuff for donors. So I hope that you will check that out. You can go to fdrurl.com/locals, fdrurl.com/locals to help it out. Have yourself a wonderful evening. I'll talk to you Sunday. Take care, my friends. Bye.